We're going to be in John chapter 5 today, verse 25, and we're going to kind of focus on the first part of this verse specifically today, and maybe pick up the next part next week and go, but we're going to go into some detail, and you probably maybe heard some of this stuff before, but there's some things I think that maybe we, you know, as we're going about, because the issue that I'm going to talk about today is something that is a lot, something that we are deal with, not just in the world, but in the religious world that we have to battle. And we'll see about what that is here in a second. But we'll read verse 25. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." Here we go a little further down. It talks about those who are dead or in the tombs. It talks about a death. And so one thing in Scripture that sometimes when the same word is used, it's talking about the same thing. But other times when the same word is used, it can be talking about different things. Okay, so an example I was talking this morning, thinking about this morning is in Daniel 7, it talks about a little horn with a big mouth, and in Daniel 8 it talks about a little horn with a big mouth. But if you go back and look at those little horns come from different kingdoms. Okay, so just because the little horn is used does not mean that it's talking about the same person or thing. And so the same is true, you know, when we're talking about death. Okay? So just because dead, it says that those who are dead shall hear my voice and will come to life. Okay? So in the Scripture, there's multiple types of death. There's also multiple types of life. Okay? So let's look into here a second. What kind of dead is he speaking about then? Well, what kind of death here is he saying those who are dead are going to hear my voice and are going to come to life? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And the writer of Hebrews kind of touches on it as he passes here when he's talking about the new covenant and superiority to the old covenant. And in verse 27, he says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." So when we die physically, it's judgment. Now, what that looks like, and people can kind of debate this, you know, how long it is. I mean, one thing I know, when we die, we're outside of the physical time. So whether that seems like it's 1,000 years if we die before Jesus comes from 1,000 years, or whether it's a short time, I'm not so clear on that, what that looks like. The point is that when somebody dies, whether it's boom, judgment day, or whether they have 1,000 years wherever they are until judgment day, their eternity is not going to change, okay? Their eternity is not going to change after they die. Where it was set when they died is set. Okay? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul writes here in verse 10. In chapter 5, in the beginning of the part of the chapter, he's talking about the temporal versus the eternal. And in verse 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give recompense for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad." Okay, so when we're talking about physical death, then comes judgment. Physical death, then the judgment of the deeds, whether good or bad, are given account for. Okay? So in the context, then if we're going to go back to John chapter 5, so thinking about, does physical death fit the context when Jesus says, those who are dead will hear my voice and come to life? If when we die, our eternity is set. So, for example, someone who is wicked, and they die, they don't come to life again, whether physical or spiritual. I mean, eternal death is eternal condemnation, is eternal is eternity in the lake of fire. Okay, so this doesn't fit. This death that Jesus is talking about here doesn't fit the description of a physical death. So when he is saying here, even though when we get down to verse 28 and 29, that is talking about a physical death, but that is why we have to be discerning when we're looking at the Scripture and let the Scripture actually speak for itself and see what actually, is the Scripture describing a physical death or a spiritual death here? And we'll understand by the time we get there is that we better figure out the spiritual death in life if we're going to escape the eternal death. And get to eternal life. Okay, so we're going to look here at what dead he is talking about here. The dead he is talking about is a spiritual death. Those who are dead in their sins will hear his voice and come to life. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. We're going to come back to here. This is horribly mistranslated, but we're looking at here. The point I want to bring out at this time is that the death that he's talking about here is tied back to something that Adam did. Okay, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis chapter 2, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 2. So, God given a more detailed picture of the creation account here in Genesis chapter 2 and a detailed description of creating man. Okay, and so in verse 17, start in verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay, so Adam, when he is, if he were to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which obviously we know the end of the story, he does, and by sinning, he is going to die. The day that you eat of it, he dies. Okay, let's turn to head to Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent comes to Eve, and he deceives her, and in verse 6 it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, and she took from the fruit and ate it, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate. And notice it doesn't say they both died. Okay? And the point is that the death that God said that they would die the day that they ate it wasn't a physical death. The death that they died when they sinned was a spiritual death. So, and I mentioned at the beginning, because this is key to understand when we're talking about even dealing with things in the religious world, because you have about every religious congregation, from Catholicism to Evangelicalism to Lutheranism, what's the one thing that they all have in common is a thing called original sin. Okay, pretty much they all think that because of Adam sinned, that by default we are born sinners already. Okay, so the question is then that we're bringing up here is that, and think about this. Did Adam's sin bring forth spiritual death or physical death? Because by default, they, you know, and Ken Ham even says this when he talks about his creation stuff. And there's some good things that Ken Ham has, but he'll go about it is that in his explanation of why bad things happen is that, well, that's because of Adam's sin. So Adam's sin brought on physical death, and that's why we die physically, because we sin. And so we die physically, and how it works then is that's why a baby dies because of original sin, which brings forth physical death. And in some cases, when it's really strict, in the Calvinist thought, and even Catholicism was like this at a time. But I asked the Calvinist one time, I said, so you're telling me that if a baby dies in a womb and that baby's not chosen, that baby's going to hell? And they said yes. See, the idea of original sin is serious, that so much that they think that if that baby's not chosen, then that baby's going to burn in hell for eternity. Okay? So it's important to understand what this is, because the thought process is because the baby died means that they must have had sin, because sin brings forth death. Let's look at the end of Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you that sin did not bring physical death. Okay, I know that's not necessarily something, but why are we dying now? Okay, sin did not bring forth physical death. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." See, Adam and Eve had already sinned already, and God says, hey, he knows, he has the knowledge of good and evil like us, and now lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever. So as long as they had access to the tree of life, they would have lived forever. They wouldn't have died physically. That is why they were cast out. In verse 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken, and he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." See, I'm not saying that we necessarily have a problem with this here. I'm saying we need to be grounded in this so that when the issue does come up, sin did not bring upon physical death. Therefore, when somebody dies, it's not because they sinned physically. Physical death was brought upon because we do not have access to the tree of life. And you could say in a roundabout way, it's a consequence of sin. Okay, yeah, and that's just a watered down way to try and say that we're all saying the same thing, and we're not, because physical death was not brought upon specifically by sin. It was spiritual death that was brought upon, and yes, the consequences of that spiritual death had God cast them out of the Garden of Eden, which brought forth physical death. Yes, but it was because they didn't have access to the tree of life. Because that's what he says there. Lest they eat and live forever. They already had sinned, and they still had the opportunity to eat and live forever, and so God cast them out and guarded the tree of life so they couldn't get back to it. So now let's go back to Romans chapter 5 for a second. So we're going to talk about a few things in regards to that idea of original sin, or the idea of being born sinners. Now, we mentioned before, just because the word death is used does not mean it is talking about a physical death, okay? So in verse 12, let's go there again. This is a horribly mistranslated verse, because of the bias of original sin. I'll just read it how it's mistranslated first, and then I'll read it how it should be translated. And therefore it says, "Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." So that all sinned, all have sinned, all the we're born with sin, original sin, so that's why death is there. And it's physical death and even spiritual death, so if you're not chosen, man, it's too bad for you. Okay, that's the idea. But in the last part where it says, because all sinned, that's actually horribly mistranslated. The Greek word, the words to make up that phrase, it should say, upon all who sinned. So if you take that and translate it correctly, it would say, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread upon all who sinned. So that changes the context of the passage. It doesn't say that death spread to all men because they all sinned, because they were born with sin already. it changes the context that death spread to those who sinned. So now we have what we are doing is that where does that point, where is that at then? Where is someone held accountable and not held accountable? Okay, and I know there's not a definite age, but I know it's not a baby. And it's probably a lot older than that. And so that when you translate it correctly, it's putting the responsibility back on the person to make the choice whether they want to follow God or not. But if you translate it because all sin, it's that it didn't matter if they wanted to or not because they were already born with sin, so it didn't matter. That's how it comes across. But death didn't spread to all, and it's talking about spiritual death. It's spiritual death spread to those who sinned. Physical death is brought upon because we don't have access to the tree of life. Spiritual death is brought upon those who have sinned, who have made the choice. Romans 13, even, or sorry, 5 verse 13, it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." Now, you got to remember, so the verses and chapters are added so that I can tell you where to, you know, read from this passage, and then we all go there, we can all read about it, okay? So Paul is building something here, okay? Paul is writing a letter. It's not meant to have a bunch of, I mean, yeah, there's sections in the letters at times, okay? There's sections he talks about certain things, but Paul is building on something, and he actually makes the point that we're going to go to in Romans chapter 7. Let's go over there a second. You slip over a couple pages. He says, just to remind ourselves, and back in chapter 5, he says that, "But sin is not imputed where there is no law." And the Greek word for imputed means to be charged to one's account. Okay, so where there is no law, sin is not charged to one's account. And that's not talking about the time that's prior to the law of Moses. Okay, that's talking about someone being alive apart from the law. In chapter 7, verse 9, Paul says, "I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died." Obviously, Paul's not talking about physical death because he's still living and writing about it. And he is saying, "I once was alive apart from the law. The law had no jurisdiction over me at one time in my life." That was the time from when he was born to when he was accountable. Once he was accountable, the law became present and sin killed him. That's what he's saying there. So go back to chapter 5, and when he says that until the law, sin was in the world, because of Adam's sin, because people sin like Adam did, not in the exact same way that he did, but because they rebelled against God, those who were accountable and rebelled against God died spiritually because they chose that. But where there is no law, sin is not imputed upon someone. It's not charged to one account. Where someone is alive apart from the law, there is no sin. He even says it in chapter 5, but it's just blown over because of the extreme bias, Calvinist bias in original sin. And we shouldn't just use Calvin, because original sin is more than just Calvinist. Okay? Even though Calvin had that idea, it was around before Calvin. The idea of original sin is so stuck because we have to be these worthless sinners that can't overcome, that have to just be, oh, we're just groveling, hoping that some blood drops down from Jesus and cleanses us. Because that's the mindset that they want. Keep reading here in verse 14 of I skipped the verse. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So, remember that Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that he was alive apart from the law at one time. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "For we are the true circumcision who serve in the Spirit of God and the glory of Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, the Pharisee, a zealous persecutor of the church and as the righteousness which is in the law found blameless. Okay, so Paul was never alive apart. Let me say this right. There wasn't a time that Paul was not a Jew. Because he was born a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day. So if he was talking about that there was a time in my life that I wasn't a part of the law, if he was talking about being born there, that's not what he was talking about. Because he was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was born a Jew. But he says that I was alive apart from the law. It wasn't that he was a Gentile and converted to Judaism. It's that he wasn't accountable for a time being in his life. And once he was accountable, once he could make the choice, then sin entered and he died. When he chose that. So go back to Romans chapter 5 again. We're going to continue from verse 14. Now we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And then we're going to go back and talk about it here. Verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him to come." Let me pause here a second. That word for likeness, what he is saying there is that it's kind of given, is that even though death reigned from Adam until Moses, and it's kind of preached that even though they didn't sin, even though they weren't old enough to make their original sin. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying that even though they didn't rebel in the same way as Adam, they still rebelled and they sinned. That's what he's saying there. So death reigned from Adam until Moses, verse 15, but the gift is not like the transgression, for by the transgression of the one, many died. Okay, so those who followed the example of Adam and rebelled against God died spiritually because they sinned. Much more, middle of verse 15, did the grace of God and by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And the gift is not like that of which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose from the transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through the one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted in justification to life for all men. For as though the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the one obedience of one many were made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so you can say, Kirk, how could you read that and not think that we are made sinners and made righteous? So let's look at it from the other angle for a second. Let's look at it from being made, from the act of one man, many were made righteous. Specifically, verse 19. From the act of one man, many were made righteous. Do we have a choice in that? Or is it just thrown upon us without a choice? I mean, you could go to, what if we would have kept reading in Philippians 2 this morning, we're getting to verse 12, where we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, it doesn't just fall upon us with no choice of our own. So when he is saying by the act of one, many were made righteous, he's not saying there was no choice. He is saying because Jesus did this, because of the action that he did, many can be righteous because they can make the choice to do it. So if that is true on the positive side, that is true on the negative side too. Even though Adam sinned, those who made the choice to follow his example and rebelled died. It wasn't just imputed upon them because Adam sinned. They weren't just made sinners because Adam sinned. They had a choice. Just like we aren't made righteous just because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. What are we doing here if that's the case? Why don't we eat, drink, and be merry and do whatever? It doesn't matter anymore because we're all made that way anyway. If it's true for the positive that we have to make the choice, it has to be true for the negative, especially in the same context. So just as even by following the example of the one man who sinned, many made the choice to be sinners, and by following the example and because of the one who made the act of one who many made the choice to be righteous. Both of it goes back to personal choice. It's not imputed upon us just because. You can't have it a choice to be righteous but not a choice to sin. How can you be held accountable for something? How can God be just and hold someone accountable for something they didn't do? That's not just. Nature itself teaches us that. So when he is saying there, the whole verse 14 through 21, go back and forth where it says, through the sin of one man, death reigned, through the righteousness of one man, righteousness abound more. That is, does not negate the choice of the person. We are not born with sin and have the consequence of spiritual death because Adam sinned. That's not how it is. Well, okay, so let's turn back to Psalm 51. Because, and I wasn't even talking to a Calvinist when he brought this up, but actually, he's very anti-Calvinist, but he believes in original sin. Okay, so Psalm 51. Now, in the book of Psalms, when you look at the big here. I'll just kind of hold up my Bible here. So, if you can kind of see, you have your big title up here. Okay, that's not in the scripture. That's something that man gave. But this little one right here, where it says for the choir director. A Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. That whole section I read is all verse 1 in the Hebrew. When you look it up in the Hebrew, oh boy, I lost a bunch of papers there. That whole first section is, when you read it in the Hebrew, the top title, the bold letters, are not in the Hebrew, but the little letters, the really tiny font in the book of Psalms, is in the Hebrew. So it's not someone's opinion that this psalm was in relation to David and Bathsheba. Okay? So this is very important when we read this Psalm 51 here, the first part of it, to understand that David wrote it because Nathan came to him and confronted him about the sin he did with Bathsheba. Okay? That's important. That's important context there. So let's go to verse 5 of Psalm 51. I'll read how it's translated, and then we'll get into the mistranslation. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So when you're translated like that, That's an original sin translation. Because when I was conceived, in sin, my mother conceived me because I was born a sinner. I was born with the original sin, is the idea. But actually, when you look into the Hebrew, how it should be translated is it should be, behold, in iniquity brought forth a birth, and in sin a mother conceived. Now that changes it. Because if you're in the context of David and Bathsheba, was there a birth because of a sin? David and Bathsheba committed adultery and brought forth a birth. It didn't mean that the baby had sin, but because of their sin, Bathsheba conceived and brought forth a birth. What did Bathsheba conceive in a sin? Or I guess I kind of answered that question already. Because they sinned, she conceived, and a birth was brought forth. See, David's not saying that I was born in iniquity and my mother conceived me in sin. That's not in there. The Hebrew, that's not true to the Hebrew, and that's not true to the other, rest of the Scripture. Bathsheba and David sinned, and it brought and they conceived a child because of the sin, and because of that, it brought forth a birth. That's what he's saying there. A mistranslation because of a bias of original sin, and we're supposed to, I mean, I'm not saying that we have to go and just nitpick and detail every, because God can work through translators that aren't Christians, okay? And most of them are, if not all of them, are not Christians. Especially when you have a wicked bias like this. Flat out wicked. Because that generates an idea that you're born a sinner, so hey, it doesn't matter whether you choose or not. You have to be that way. It doesn't matter if you're chosen or not. You can burn in hell. And obviously I understand that God isn't ruled by man's interpretation. So that's not going to happen just because they say that. But that belief has caused so much destruction. And so much bias. And it's led a lot of people straight to hell. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. A person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteous will be upon the righteous, the righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. See, when you understand Romans 5 correctly, and you understand Psalm 51 correctly, and you understand that sin didn't bring upon physical death, therefore everybody has sinned if they die, then this doesn't contradict. It makes a ton of sense. Because it wasn't the sin of Adam that brought on physical death, because it made us sinners, so that's why we died. It's the lack of the tree of life of why death is here. Yes, in a roundabout way, it's a consequence of what they sinned, but specifically the death that he was talking about was the spiritual death, because they made the choice. And we die that spiritual death because we make that choice, not because it's imputed upon us, not because it's just charged us our account because we're human. The punishment of the father's iniquity is upon the father, and the punishment of the son is upon the son. We don't bear someone's guilt. Turn back to John chapter 5. Truly, truly, to verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the spiritual dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him shall live, shall be resurrected to live a spiritual life. Now, we're going to get into that next week because that's a little bigger topic. I'm not going to cover that now. But in order to understand what the life he's talking about, we have to understand what death he's talking about. And in order to understand what death, if it's something that we can't change, then there's no reason to even be here. But if it's a choice that we made, then it's also a choice to live that we have to make as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and that we could assemble here today and, Father, get a chance to meet around your table. And, Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Father, we thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings, that we can look into it and let your scripture speak and come to the correct conclusion, Father. We thank you, Father, again for Jesus and the bond we have through him. In Jesus' name, amen.